acknowledge the traditional owners, the Karrayarra people, and the use of their land to undertake this committee meeting we're having. Yeah, can you talk?
So through to the committee, my apologies, the agenda still has Councillor Lorraine Butson's name on it, and Council had resolved to, obviously Councillor Butson had resigned from Council, and the Council had then resolved, my understanding was to leave that position vacant for the time being.
Okay. Any apologies?
Everyone's present.
Yep. And approved leave of absence, it says nil. Response to previous questions. Questions from the public at the airport meeting held on 8th of December 2015, there were nil. Questions of the committee members at the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday the 8th of December, nil. Public time. It's important to note this meeting is being recorded on audio tape and as an additional record of the meeting and to assist the minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to a third party. If you do not give permission to record your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public are also reminded that in accordance with Section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member. I'll open public question time at 5:37. Any people wish to make a statement in the public gallery?
Sorry, questions
first. Oh, sorry, questions. Any questions in the public gallery? No. Okay, we'll close it at 5:38. We open public statement time, which is 5:38, and will anybody want to make a public statement in the gallery at all? Yes? No? Right, okay. So we'll close it at 5:38. Questions from members without notice?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, none for me this evening, thank you.
Righty. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wondering, are the members of this committee aware of the recent deliberations of the Audit Risk Governance Committee and the Council, the Town of Port Hedland, this week?
Some would be. Would you like to make a statement about that?
Not me, but maybe you should ask the CEO to perhaps provide
all right.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Presiding Member, and I might defer to the Executive Officer for some of that information, but what I can explain is that we had an Audit Risk and Governance Committee meeting on Tuesday evening, and that was followed up by a special council meeting last night. Originally there were two agenda items on the special council meeting, one for the award of a tender for the baseline contamination report, which was a condition precedent for the long-term lease of the Port Hedland International Airport. That tender was awarded last night to GHD, and that's a 50-50 split between the operating company for the airport lease and the Town of Port Hedland to undertake that baseline study. The second item was withdrawn last night on the basis that Council had sought information at the January Ordinary Council meeting in terms of the wealth management framework and also the short-term investment of the proceeds from the net proceeds from the long-term lease. Officers had put that item back to the Audit Risk and Governance Committee because of the financial implications that it may have by not moving it from WATC to one of the major four banks for short-term investment. That wasn't supported by Audit Risk and Governance, so we withdrew that item last night. There'll now be a workshop with elected members. We'll have Freehills, who provided the legal advice to date on the airport lease transaction, present possibly via Skype at this stage, probably not be in person. And we'll bring an agenda item back on all those matters probably to March. There was a bit more detail on the Tuesday night, and perhaps the executive officer might want to give it more detail, if you don't mind, Peter.
I guess in relation to the, through the chair, in relation to the airport wealth management framework, as the CEO has just indicated, there was a proposal on the table to consider the short-term investments of the airport lease funds, essentially seeking consideration to place those funds in term deposits with a number of financial institutions as per a proposal which we received from JB Webb. I guess the differential in the interest earnings between the WA Treasury option and other market options is $426,000 over a 4-month period. So I guess if that item isn't reconsidered by the committee, then there's obviously a financial implication on the town employee as far as this year's budget. A number of other motions were also put by the Audit Risk and Governance Committee in relation to the airport. I don't have a copy of those motions in front of me, but essentially they were to consider the financial modelling with regards to the airport as a discontinued operation and the impact on town's long-term financial plan, and also to revisit the business plan for the disposal of the airport by way of a long-term lease, just to ensure that I guess the process is complied with the Local Government Act and the disposal provisions under the Act. So, like I say, were the two main items that fell out of the meeting. They will be brought back to the Audit Risk and Governance Committee for consideration, as well as the officer's report responding to those items. I guess just going back to the July-August period of last year, prior to Council's consideration of the business plan and the disposal of the airport, we did undertake a very significant public consultation process which involved the WA Treasury Corporation, and we did present a lot of financial information to both the community and to Council at that point in time, and that did include financial modelling of the town's budget with the airport as a discontinued operation. It was indicated to the committee and council that there would be an $8.2 million, I guess, reduction in municipal revenue as a result of the airport as a discontinued operation, and that those funds would need to be replaced through the long-term wealth management framework. So I guess the officer's comments when the report is to be provided to the Audit Risk and Governance Committee will cover off on that consultation process that occurred last year, and also represent some of that existing information.
Thank you. Any other people would like to raise anything at this stage? And a question from members?
I have one.
Yeah.
Can we just get a clear indication on, we just got told, you know, we're going to be getting $8.2 million revenue back from, you know, to replace what we're losing from the airport, but you know, the modelling I've got on the the special council meeting and also the Audit Risk and Finance Committee meeting is year 10, you know, first year, yes, 8.2, year 10, 6.2, year 20, 4.6, year 30, 3.4, and year 40, 2.5. You know, this is, you know, that also does not include the 10 million or the 5 million that comes out every 5 years or 10 years. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that will affect this money, you know, that aren't in here, and really we're being, it is speculative on the income that we will be getting. So my point, my question is, how do we know how much money we're going to be getting in 20 years time? And will it be $8.2 million in 20 years time?
I can address that, given that the model that was put forward was a model with a number of assumptions built into that model. And the key assumption was that in year one, the town would take a return on investment of $8.2 million to cover or to recover the lost revenue that had been currently receiving from the airport. And we made a commitment at officer level that in terms of that model, that we would depreciate that return by 2% per annum, which was, I guess, the town's commitment to reducing costs as an efficiency dividend over a period of time. So again, it is a model. The model's predicated on the number of assumptions. That model has not been adopted by anyone, and that's the work of the investment and the framework, the future framework. So that's a model that's been presented for deliberation and eventually for the council to determine exactly what their expected returns are in terms of annual returns, in terms of any capital payments on a either regular or irregular basis.
So, so my next question would be, I've just gone blank. Can I come back to you?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to go further in the table? Councillor? All right.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to get a point of clarification. Point of clarification on the attachment to 11.1.1. I spent nearly 2 days on the control of these figures. And all of a sudden I find out that the fully budget review dates September. What happened to December? You've had a cooling budget. We are back 3 months. All these figures are 3 months old. And I would suggest that at no stage we even discuss it because they are not up to date. I spent nearly 2 days on these and find out they're all incorrect because the cooling budget review has not been presented to the airport committee. Am I correct?
Can I get your answer?
So the first question is, my understanding is that the reports are for the period ended 31st of January
2016. The
quarterly
budget review states
September. This committee is not dealing with the quarterly budget review.
That's all your figures. The figures are altered automatically. You take the quarterly review figures here in December and put them here, they're dramatically different. And you've got 3 months of trading there.
So, Brett, you ought to help me out here. I understood that this report is for the period ending 31 January.
This report is a cash position in time, dated 31 January 2016, and accurately reflects the revenues and expenditures at that point in time in the capital expenditure. This is a statement of the point in time. This is correct.
What about the figures from December? Are they incorrect?
Figures from December don't have anything to do with
this. They do, when we're moving resolutions here about changes of money and changes of allocations, they're completely different because some of them here in your recommendation are that some of the things that will be picked up by the incoming people, what adjustment and what proportion of that is going to be paid by them, what proportion is going to be paid by council. And some of these carried forward, so you've got municipal fund 47718, out of the other page, 38,000, 3,383. It's a vast difference between the allocation of operating income and capital in the two documents. Surely we're dealing with the documents at the 31st of December and not at the 30th of September.
Now the document that, through the chair, the document we're dealing with that's attached to the Airport Committee paper is a snapshot in time taken 2 weeks before the Airport Committee meeting, as it should be. This document details the cash status and the budgets at that point in time. So this document is an accurate reflection of the expenditures and the revenues as recorded in our financial systems at that point in time.
I'm not interested in September. I'm interested in December.
This is not September, this is January.
Why are we dealing with September? That's 3 months down the track. It's gone. These figures here are completely different.
It says here
31st of January up top.
Yeah, up the top is 31st of January.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with September.
So, through the chair, the committee's not been asked to accept financial information or to make any budget changes.
And what I'm saying, if I may, What I'm saying is that the relevance, CEO, is all out of proportion. Because when I do the conversion between what you had in September and what you've got in December is quite significant. And we are asking at this thing here to make comments on a December statement. We should be making comments on the December statement.
Through the chair.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, this report was produced before the adoption of the December quarterly budget review, as it was required to be, as in terms of the reporting that was to be presented to the committee. So the reason it's September is because it was prior to the adoption of that December quarterly budget review.
I understand that. I don't know why we didn't get December. I understand exactly what to say, but why are we? We're in modern day, we're only 2 months away or 3 months away about doing a transfer of the most important asset that all of them have. And we can't tell them exactly what things we've got in our budget.
Hasn't been adopted by council.
What? No, hasn't.
The December one.
The December QBR.
You distributed it.
Yeah, but it hasn't been adopted or formally considered by full council yet.
The right question is, good enough for one committee to have December be always good enough for the other?
It's a bit different. The terms of reference of this committee and the terms of reference of the audit risk governance committee.
We'll refer back to the airport. I will not make any comment on these figures now that I've made my point. I've done analysis, I've done the summary, and I've done everything on it, but when I see this, I'm wasting my time. Exactly. I will make comments on other objects as far as this
is concerned. So through the chair, it is not wrong. So again, Mr. Carter, it is not correct. It's not incorrect, it is not wrong. The information, as has been explained, has been prepared at a point in time. We have subsequently done our quarterly budget review for end of December, December 31. That's been to Audit, Risk and Governance on Tuesday evening, and now is presented to Council on the 24th of February. So until such time as Council adopts the quarterly budget review, there's no change to the presented figures that are in front of you as of 31 January.
How come the two figures
were
adopted by
the Audit and
Finance?
So Audit, Risk and Governance Committee met on Tuesday. They have made a recommendation. They don't adopt anything. They've made a recommendation to Council. Council now needs to consider that recommendation. So please don't put on the public record that information is wrong when it is not wrong.
As far as I'm concerned, it's incorrect. That is not
I'm correcting you that is a false statement.
A true statement. The financial position.
It is a true statement.
31st of December, as it states here, as at the 31st of January.
It is a true statement. Until such time as Council adopts different figures, it is correct. I'm sorry.
No further comment.
Okay. Got nothing. Right. Okay. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes. I just want to ask how we are going to the members of the public seem to have a understanding that we're going to be receiving $8 million a year from this fund. And we're only receiving $160 million. So I don't see how we can be receiving $8 million a year when the interest, even at 5%, wouldn't generate that sort of income.
Would you like a comment on that, Councillor?
Yeah. I'd like to know how we're going to make this money last for 50 years when I really can't see that happening.
You're right.
So again,
based on our suggestion to the community that we're getting $8 million a year, a return. Into the municipal.
So through the chair, again, the model was created and the model was able to be manipulated by the assumptions that were put into the model. The model is correct in terms of depending what assumptions you use in terms of interest or growth, and because there's a declining amount of funds taken out, and we've had presentations, we've shown the model, and the model fluctuates depending on how much money you take out up front. The staff in presenting that model have always spoken about a depreciated amount of funds coming out from the 8.2 being reduced by 2% per annum. So if you don't, you know, sorry, we run an, it's run on the Excel formula. I think Excel's tended to be a pretty well respected model for, or a formula that's used for modelling. If and when the council finally determines its risk structure and the rates of return it expects, the amount of risk it's prepared to take, and whether or not the council is satisfied in taking 8.2 with a diminishing return and or capital amounts on a regular basis, the model still remains just that, a model.
So, and just one more then. So, that being the case, then the council can adopt to use this fund as a future fund and not remove any money out of it for the municipal account, and then it would become a future fund, which would generate compounding interest on the interest. Would that be something that is in the model that we would be looking at?
So, through the chair, at this stage, that's not a model that we have contemplated, given that the town has always stated that it needs to recover the lost revenue that it was receiving from the airport. If that was a decision of the council, then in year one we would have an $8.2 million revenue hole in our budget that we'd need to deal with.
Let's move on. I take it nobody else has got any further questions on this. Declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. Hands up, those who have done.
Right, okay. Sorry, Mr. Linkletter and Mr. Carter, you need to vote.
You what?
You need to acknowledge the presiding member's request for a vote.
What was the item?
All right. We're just wanting a declaration from members,
yes,
right,
yes,
that they've looked at the
so
material before.
Yes.
I gather that. And the same thing there. Right, okay.
So
now...
9-0?
Yeah, 9-0. Now we move on to confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Has everybody had a look at the minutes of the previous meeting?
Report being seen, Chairman.
Anybody missing the minutes of the previous meeting?
They're in the back of the next council minutes, council meeting. They'll be in the next council meeting.
They were passed in January, yeah.
These are the ones here.
And they're in the council, they're in the back of the last council meeting.
Oh, right, January, okay.
Mm.
Yep. So everybody's seen them? Okay, right. So let's confirm those minutes. So who's in favour of the minute? So how many have we got voting on this? We've got 1, 2, 3.
Everybody's
voted. All right.
So sorry.
I don't think everybody did vote, actually.
People need to be clear when they are voting to receive the minutes.
Yep.
Confirming the minutes.
Can we have a direction on what you're actually asking?
I'm just asking you to confirm the minutes of the previous meeting. Absolutely.
Can we have a clear vote, please? Remember.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yep.
And any against?
All right. Okay. 8-1. Okay. Any announcements from the presiding member? No, it's not without discussion. So we'll move on. Item 10, petitions and deputations and presentations and submissions. Update on the Port Hedland International Terminal.
Yeah,
now
transition.
Transition.
So, perhaps through the chair, may I commence by introducing Mr.
Yes, Kim? Yes. Do you want me to read this disclaimer?
No, we'll do that after this.
You're right, okay.
So, committee, we have Mr. Mitchell Cameron, the new general manager of the Port Hedland International Airport.
CEO of the operating company.
So, Mitchell is probably well known to many people, given his previous role as general manager of Karratha Airport, and has got a long career in aviation and airports. I think Sydney before that?
Correct.
Sydney International Airport? Or Sydney Airports Corporation? So Mitchell's come on board, and I think it's great the operating company has been able to get someone of Mitchell's knowledge, experience and stature to come on board. So welcome.
Welcome.
Okay.
So is there a bit of an overview now of the update? Yes. Is that being provided by you, Brett?
It's been provided by Okay.
Right, let's go.
So starting with the tracking document that's starting at item 1. Some of these things I'll talk to you globally and some I'll talk to you globally. As an update, there are no certifications. We received confirmation that CASA will be awarding the aerodrome certificate to OPCO to allow it to operate the airport. It's satisfied itself that the operator and its staff have sufficient skills and qualities. The aerodrome is sufficiently maintained to allow some operation of the aerodrome. And so that will be awarded on a nominated date once we set that completion date. So that's good news. That's good news that is now now taking place, and it will basically be awarded potentially towards the end of February, early March, as the deadline dates for that one.
So Brett, that process is that the town needs to relinquish its certificates?
Yes.
Can you explain that process, please?
So just to explain that process, when the aerodrome certificate is awarded, the town's aerodrome certificate is relinquished, and the town has to give notice to CASA, and the town has given notice to CASA that it's prepared to relinquish its certificate on the same day. So it all happens on the same day, basically. So the, in essence, the town surrenders its aerodrome certificate on that day. So that process is now in train. CASA has had formal advice from both on COVID, on its intentions and from ourselves in town on that one as well. So just in terms of, I'll just jump straight over to another page. In terms of all the manuals and everything that are listed there, they are all completed and they've all been stamped and approved by CASA. Are being returned to the airport by CASA, and they've got PDF copies of all the planes and manuals, similar to the wildlife hazard management plan, threat drug and alcohol management plan. The next item for discussion, item 15 onwards, is security. In terms of security, we have also had advice from the Office of Transport Security that they have approved our TSP, our Transport Security Program, when I say ours, should I say OPCO's Transport Security Program, because it's certainly not the town's, it's actually OPCO's Transport Security Program. And it's a very similar process. We have to cancel our own Transport Security Program. In this case, we have to actually nominate a date for that cancellation. It's not quite as efficient as or as seamless as CASA. We will be changing that date as we move forward if the as the completion date gets closer. So that's just a managing our process, but that's now completed as well. So obviously the Transport Security Program has been completed, has been rewritten and accepted by OTS. Now OTS actually needs 10 clear business days to award its certificates of completion for that particular process. Which is fine because OPCO's has told us that once all the condition precedents are met, it will be 10 to 13 clear business days before completion could actually take those, but I'll get to that in a second. So all of the other things down here, the screening authority that the town has is to also be cancelled, and that has been approved for the new operator as well. So the new operator has been approved for the new screening authority. Just jumping over the page now.
Can we ask questions in between?
Oh, sure.
I just wondered who would be the new operator for security then, and what part of security is that?
The new operator for security is PHIA operating company, PTY Ltd, so what we call an OPCO. So it's the same operator of the aerodrome. Much the same as the town is the security operator. However, it is done through an outsourced contract through MSS. MSS providing the security screening services.
MSS will still, is still with it?
Yeah. But the actual authority is maintained by the airport.
Okay.
Under its new owners.
Thank you.
The CCTV hasn't been tendered yet. So you're talking about the CTO
upgrade.
The upgrade? Yes, I was going to get that, but happy to talk to that now. So the CCT upgrade and access control upgrade, which is a what they call cargo terminal operation requirement under the new Border Agencies or Customs Act, that is currently finalising the scope, and that is to be tendered in March. That will then come to Council for its approval for completion of that element of the contract. So that is a town responsibility. That is some of the town's works that have been committed to. It will actually take place post completion.
Through the chair, the security contract of 1.226 billion, is that going to be transferred over to the lessors?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just jump down. A lot of these are in this tracking document are for note and emergency and coordination. These are all of the various agencies and such, etc., that you need to notify. Once the completion date is set, formal notifications will be sent to all of these operators and stakeholders. Just going down to item 43, the security management system safety management system manual, that has been completed as well. That was required to be completed as part of the certification, error certification process. Any letters of agreements or any articles of understanding with any of the agencies will also be negotiated by OPCO. In particular, there is one with Air Services Australia that needs to be negotiated. Air Services was happy to hold that over until the new operator was running. Have that negotiated, and that will be negotiated at that time. Just in terms of the contracts, item 47 down, the MSS security contract has been completed and has been forwarded to our solicitors so that OPCO can take possession of that contract as part of handing over the requirements of that contract. There's also a donation that is in place for that contract as well. There's a whole bunch of suppliers listed down here. They're all for noting once again because the formal notices need to go to all of these once the completion date is known with notification of banking details, etc. So that we shall enable them to have ongoing relationships with the operator.
Just excuse me, which section are you up to at the moment?
I was just in the contracts section, Chairman. So just from item 47.
Right. 47. Right. Yes. Okay.
I'm talking to this one in a group rather than talking to the individual ones.
I understand that, yeah. But it'd be good to know roughly which
sure.
Part.
Sure. Okay. So just moving on to administration, and I'll deal with this one in a block as well. There's the map of land, the manager's treasury, the financial accounting services, debtors, accounts receivables. There is the corporate services that will be supplied as well, and creditors and accounts payable. All of these systems are in train, and we've actually established a standalone my system for the new operator that is currently being run by the town in parallel with the existing financial systems being tested, and the intention is as a straight cut over on completion to that standalone system which has its own banking details, etc. So it's a complete from that date. In terms of IT systems, we are actually project managing on OPCO's behalf the delivery of their ICT solution, their fiber optic cable into the airport so that they can have their own standalone solution. This includes the various Cisco servers and the like that will be installed, or are being installed currently as we speak. The actual software and Microsoft type solutions will be in place in March. So there is a period where the town will host for a very short period of time OPCO on its in-house solution. And that's being project managed by us at the moment. All of the leasing and economic development information has now been handed over to the airport. The airport is now managing those. All of the physical records are now in place and sitting at the airport. Sorry, item 74, I'm on item 74 now. Communications is ongoing. There will be something organised for the signing when that takes place. And we'll be probably coordinating with Anna. At that time to look at what that's going to look like as well. In terms of payroll, that's going to be operated by OPCO as well. So OPCO is establishing its systems to enable the staff to be paid, obviously, and that's all in place and that's on time.
Well, the question to make with that superannuation to be taken care of as well.
Yes, that's all been handled by OPCO. So all the relevant forms for the transfer of superannuation payments into the various superannuation accounts of staff have been completed and applied to OPCO.
Yeah, through the chair, if I may. I haven't seen any graphs of how many Town of Port Hedland staff are actually working and are still at the Town of Port Hedland Airport on the Town of Port Hedland payroll who will be transitioning over. So how many staff do we actually have of the Town of Port Hedland at the airport?
Number of staff that will be transitioning is 8 staff.
My question first is how many staff do we actually have, before everything's gone over? So we had a number of staff that were paid by the Town of Port Hedland, mm-hmm. based at the airport. That's 8, only 8? Or
eight.
Only
8? 8, currently 8.
8, yes.
There have been a few positions not filled because of how close we are to transition. We've had a few leave for family reasons and the lot. So originally we were transferring 10, we're now transferring 8.
So the people that left, they weren't replaced, their jobs weren't replaced.
We backfilled because the contractor because yep. we were way too close to
sure.
the
yeah.
people on off coast behalf.
So were any other employees absorbed back into the Town of Port Hedland, into other positions because they didn't want to transfer over to police?
We attempted to do that with one staff member. Yeah. More than happy to have them absorbed back into the town.
Yes, I remember that was going to be said.
But unfortunately, she decided to move on.
Okay.
But it was often, yes.
So with that 8, was that even including car path? Parking inspectors, etc. Was that everything?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just 8. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sorry, Brett. Probably need to use. There's actually 9, including you.
Oh, yes. Sure.
So that position will come to a close. So Brett's current position will come to a will terminate at around completion date.
Okay.
Maybe a week later.
Because I basically finish as soon as the transaction's
closed. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Item 77, the conditions of use document, that has been completed. That's sitting ready to be published as soon as the completion date transpires. That has been actually circulated to all airline operators for comment and also has been through quite a rigorous, legal process as well. That item is now completed and ready to go. The baseline contamination report. That was approved last night, and we're in the process now of awarding that contract to GHD. The agreed town works, the shade structures are completed, the perimeter fence is completed, the old fence needs to come down, the perimeter fence. The old fence cannot come down until the new transport security program is in place and in effect, because the boundary has slightly changed, but it will come down at that time. The security access control CCTV, which we've already commented on, and the aircraft parking bays, that's a body work also. There's 4 parking bays that we agreed to strengthen as part of this process and get on with those works to make those bays compliant. That project will be awarded very, very, very soon.
So after the
OPCO
takeover, we are responsible for doing that. and works and things like that.
Yeah, it's actually for it's open strengthened for four aircraft and secure partners.
I was under the impression that the new lessee was going to take on that work.
Well, okay.
Through the chair. Yes, there was conversation of the lessee taking on the work, but the town would have to reimburse the lessee. This was a pre-commitment part of the leasing of the airport, that these works would be undertaken by the town. So there's four bays, which is a pre-commitment.
Can I get a cost on that? That work?
Good idea.
How much was it?
Current costings on the work are $687,000. Final quotes are being sought at this point in time, but they're going to be pretty close to that amount.
All right.
It's the aircraft spec now, is it?
Yeah, the aircraft park.
$755,000.
Yeah, there's a budget for $725,000.
$38,000.
All right. And it doesn't involve any extension at all? You're not putting more bays in, you're just reinforcing existing bays, is that correct?
Yes. We're reinforcing the existing bays primarily to make them compliant. They are at the end of their useful lives.
Right.
Can I ask one question? The end of the runway works, are they going to be performed, or do we have to bear that cost as well, or is it when I looked at that there was strengthening and also end of runway works that need to be done? So
yeah.
Through the chair?
No,
I don't have to do that.
Okay.
Okay, just in terms of the records shed, sorry, item 82, sublease arrangements will be entered into post completion. So all the details have been agreed and then I'll put into these terms of the process of executing and negotiating final lease documents. In terms of the novations, item 84, there are six outstanding novation agreements, of which all are very, very close to completion. But when I say completion, I'm talking about the actual tenants signing all of the agreements. We started with some 13 to 15 documents, and we're now down to six final documents. But essentially, they have all by one, have all been 100% agreed at this point in time. And so it's just going through that process of getting them executed at the moment. So we're not expecting any hold-ups with most of those documentations at this point in time. Jumping past the licences and just to item 86, all of the certificates of title have been received by the airport and are now with the town's solicitors in Perth. All of the existing subleases and licences have been received by the airport in readiness for OFCO to take possession. The same for access keys and passcodes. Bank guarantees has been completed because there were no bank guarantees. Town employees have all been offered, of the ones we just spoke about, have all been offered and accepted employment with the new operating company. There will now, then I'm only one, there will need to be corresponding advice back to the town confirming that. That is coming, just agreeing the form of that as well. I spoke about the MSS agreement previously. The MSS agreement has been novated and that novation is also with the town solicitors as well. Spoke about transferring records. Plans and manuals are all at the airport and physically present, ready for handover as well. Plant and equipment the same. Motor vehicles transfer forms are being organised and that will be signed and they will be ready for OFCO to take possession on the day. The domain names will actually happen post-completion now because we are project managing the ICT solution for OFCO, and it makes it a whole lot easier if the town retains the domain names while it's going through that process. OFCO has agreed to that approach. All computer systems are present at the airport and ready to hand over to OFCO. There is, as we get to the last couple here, there is a requirement that the town notifies OFCO that the employees have ceased employment.
which will take place once we know the date, so we can actually do that. And obviously there's just a note here to make sure we pay them all their entitlements, everything is on to up to and including the completion date of the airport. Then we get into post-completion documents, which we will take place post-completion. So I'm happy to end there, I'm happy to take any questions.
Will the operator be considering having a smoking area within the security zone of the airport?
Through the chair. That is a possibility, yes. Yes, but he would need to comply with the Tobacco Act and implement any ventilation systems and the like that would be required. When I say he, so we could face that, the cafe operator may be the party that ends up.
So would that still come back to council beforehand, or would that just go straight to the people who lease the airport? And we will not have a say wherever that smoking area goes?
No, that would simply go through the normal council process in terms of health and compliance. Right. So it would need to come back through the offices for approval. The area that the cafe operator would like to turn back into a smoking area is the garden area, which is the caged in area, close to the screening point. So actually post-screening, that was the original smoking area, and the cafe operator would like to reinstate a portion of that area, recognising that it needs to comply with the Tobacco Act.
It wasn't acceptable in the past because people had to walk past there and got a lot of smoke inhalation. So we've been there and we've been down that line, down that road before. Through the chair, my apologies.
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Very comprehensive report.
Yeah, thanks very much. Okay. Now, sorry. We haven't got any late items.
Sorry, so okay.
Back to that one.
Had the update under the deputation.
This is a disclaimer. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on the committee decisions on items on today's agenda, which they may have an interest, until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. We've had the reports of the office and the manager, and there's been no disclosure of interest in relation to Brett Reece. Right, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for the chair, because of the verbal report then which we just read out. I know it's not part of this, but because the words Headland Riders Association were mentioned in the lease transfer, whether I need to do an impartiality because I have a family member who is attached to the committee of the Headland Riders, so I just wonder, do I need to put an impartiality in because that was part of the report? Sorry, I'm a bit, please guide
it
me
might
here.
It might be getting a bit long in the connection, do you think, or how? What relation?
My son is a member of the committee of the Headland Riders who are going to be entering into a new lease according to this lease transfer. That's all.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, it's up to individual members. If they feel they have an interest, they must declare.
Okay. I'd like to declare it, thank you. Yes, so I don't know whether I'd put in a item number because whether it's to do with the item number of 11.1.
It does form part of 11.1.1.
Okay, well, I will then. Thank you. So with regard to 11.1.1 Airport Management Report, because I have an association with the applicant, as a consequence there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected, I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly. Thank you. I'm also a member of School of the Year, as a teacher of School of the Year, and also declare an association School of the Year as well. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, CEO.
So we're looking at making a recommendation on this report.
I've still got some questions on 11.1.1, Mr. Chair.
Righto, okay. Go ahead, Mr. Scott.
My first one is that while I'm using the figures which I have in front of me, can the council, do you intend to transfer the proposed amended budget of 1.410 to municipal runs prior to the transfer of ownership? And is this payment coming from reserves? There's no indication of being paid here on your financial statement.
So, a clarification, if I can. So, the figure of. So, what are you referring to?
The internal transfer to municipal funds from the airport investment account of $3,833,000 was to be transferred. Up to date, there have been no transfers out of there at all. My question is, do you intend to transfer that out prior to the transfer of the airport?
So, through the chair. So, there'll be. Based on our budget and our obligations, there'll be a pro rata transfer based on the closure date of any revenue received and therefore what the town's entitlements are.
Are you using a proportion on that or do you have a set policy for it, of the amount of money?
So
because you've budgeted 3.8383 and you've left it in the quarterly at September, you've left it in there, and the proposed for that quarterly in September is 1.410, but up to date,
according to what?
So your financial statements for the end of September. This is the
to the end of January. To January 31.
Yeah, to January 31st on here, but according to this is only up to the end of September. According to what I just told.
So perhaps what we'll do is provide formal notification of how the transfers of funds are being managed in separate correspondence to the committee.
In the indicator of the same figures, I've taken out the expenditure for the aborted solar farm, and the total comes up to that $127,000. Is this the total cost? I'm asking a stupid question because I look at the other party and see it's all over 200,000. So could I please have the total cost of the solar farm, please?
Okay, so take that on notice as that project's been wound up.
In the capital infrastructure program, the following items are advised will be completed by the airport lessees. The first one is the car plan grand transport reconfiguration of $800,000. What proportion of that $800,000 is the council paying and leaving for the lessees to take over?
Through the chair, yes. So if there's a responsibility being transferred to the operating company, then the operating company will incur the total cost.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that we are providing the design work that we have done. So we would provide that information to them. So the town's obligations were identified in that previous report about the works programs that the town is obligated to complete, and those obligations will be funded out of the airport reserve. And where there's an obligation on the operating company to do further works, they'll either pick that up now or they'll pick that up as part of their $40 million commitment to capital works.
Now, the next one is the apron lighting upgrades. What proportion of budget amounts do you pay by the council? There's a space in here that they should be finished by then. Because the allocation of $200,000 has now been cancelled. We have an infrastructure upgrade here of $1,050,000, which has now been deleted from the budget expenditure and had no expenditure incurred at all. That was for the infrastructure. So now, on TIPI, we have another allocation of infrastructure for the same item, of 1.713 million. I presume that's the same item.
So I'll defer to the acting general manager.
The lighting upgrade has been removed from the budget because that won't be a town responsibility. The town might be agreeing that that lighting upgrade and spend on the town will be zero on that particular item. The decline of 1.7 million you're referring to, Scott?
1.909.
1.909. That is the remaining expenditure, and I can see what's committed there. That is the remaining expenditure on the ring main upgrade that the town has been undertaking, which was circa $8 to $9 million from memory. That was a project that the town started some 18 months ago, and which has been completed, but I'm assuming there are still some accounts to pay on that particular item.
Thank you. My question that was because it's been completed and the actuals in here are 1.713, but I see in my other one it was over $2 million. It's not shown here, but that's what was on the other. That's my concern I have. Okay, you have indicated only four areas concerned. I think you've answered this one, but in your transfer document, you state in finance November, and I refer to the screening and contract radiation licences. Have these been finalised, and I note your comments regarding transfer, but they've been completed?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
Thank you. You've answered the next one. Has the transfer staff to this been completed, and is the allocation to the Green Nation has been done? Next question through the chair is, what is the proposed date for the settlement of the lease of the airport, and has the deposit been received? If not, when is this payable?
Through the chair, yes, it's $10 million from memory, or very close to that. That has been paid some time ago. That has actually been held by our solicitors in trust. That actually is refundable, and the full amount of the lease premium, the full amount of the lease premium is paid. Otherwise, it's forfeit.
My final one, what is the disposition of the airport housing? As we have a loan program paying interest in principal, are these to be purchased, the four houses referring to, included in the lease price, or are they to be replaced over the term of the lease? Because no house is going to last years. Are these houses going to be replaced? How are they going to be written off?
Yes,
sure.
There is extensive provisions within the lease to require the ongoing maintenance and provision of assets across the entire airport. The houses are wrapped up in that. No house will last 50 years, and indeed no use in that area would last 50 years as well. So as OPCO has been given the flexibility to optimise its assets and build and improve upon its assets, and has certain requirements to maintain its assets, right down to the end of the lease, the expiry of the lease, so the airport is handed back to the town in good condition and fit for purpose. So currently, those houses are being leased to the operating company as they are.
Is there a fee attached?
It's part of the global.
It's part of the global trade.
So, and just in terms of the existing debt on the housing loan, there's an agenda item coming to the February Ordinary Council meeting seeking Council's support to retire that debt.
Well, I feel it should think so, because I hate to see it carried forward to the rate paid for the next 50 years. I think it should be retired out of the reserve funds or out of the income coming from the transfer
company. That's what we're proposing, Mr. Carr. So to be funded from the airport reserve.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other points of clarification?
Happy to move.
Can I ask you, yes. The aircraft that landed on Thursday, 7th of January, and Brett's here, is currently parked. Is it still parked there, or is this a bit out of date?
Through the chair, that was accurate on the date that was written and submitted to the airport committee. No, it has since left. It actually stayed a day or two post the report. Through the chair, it actually ended up flying back with its wheels down and crew only, so it could affect repairs back in Perth.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a long trip.
Do you want to make any more comments on the...
Chairman. It's in the report from the general managers. The new toilet block at the was done for double constructions. Can you tell me what the cost of that was, please?
Through the chair, I think the total cost of that was $387,000, I've got in my head. I'm sorry, I might need to take that on notice to get that actual cost.
It's a tender awarded through the council process.
And also pay our reserves. Yeah.
Councillor Chair. So you have a mover?
Yep. A mover by Mayor Hallett. Mm. Seconder? Sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Green.
Yeah, thank you. And any people who's in favour? Okay, and there are no late items coming into this meeting. There were nil. Motions of which previous notice had been given, nil. Item 14, confidential items, nil. Item 15, application for leave of absence for the next airport meeting. Are there any?
Mr. Chairman, is there any? Do we know what date the next meeting will be?
Through the chair.
Yes.
At this stage, I'll foreshadow that this may be the last meeting of this committee, depending on the closure of the process. We will determine whether we do need to have one more committee meeting to round any issues out that the committee might be wishing to be made aware of. So at this stage, we'll confirm that over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay, thank you. None, thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody want to attend by telephone this unnamed meeting date? I take it not. I declare this meeting closed, and the date of the next meeting still remains to be decided, and the no further business, the meeting closed at what's that? 6:36.